You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
This war would be over today if we had prosecuted it effectively in 2002 and 2003. Our boys would be home. But we don't have a time machine. We can't go back and fix the mistakes of the past. We have what we have.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, the Afghanistan-Pakistan strategy. Despite plans to increase troop levels in Afghanistan in the coming weeks, a White House report states that efforts to stabilize the country are working and the U.S. troop drawdown slated to begin in July is on target. The key to success in Afghanistan, experts note, depends largely on cooperation from Pakistan. Senior fellow Bruce Rydell explains.
Afghanistan is the war this president inherited. It could have been over in 2001 and 2002 if we'd successfully resourced it. But Pakistan is the real strategic prize here. It's a country with the fastest growing nuclear arsenal in the world. If it not already, it soon will be the fifth largest nuclear weapon state in the world. And it has more terrorists per square mile than any other place in the world. It has a weak civilian government. It has a history of military dictatorships. Every issue that matters to Americans in the 21st century, international terrorism, nuclear warfare, nuclear proliferation, all come together in a uniquely combustible way in Pakistan.
Bruce, here it is, 2011, and the U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan is slated to start mid-year. But you've written, just by making this promise that there will be a drawdown, it's already put us at a disadvantage. Please explain that.
The president has committed to beginning a transition in Afghanistan in July 2011. Many in the region have misunderstood that to meaning an American evacuation, an American withdrawal in July 2011. That has hurt us terribly because people don't think we have any staying power, that we're going to cut and run. And this is nowhere more true than in Pakistan, which has seen the United States cut and run again and again before and leave it having to clean up the messy pieces.
President Obama recently explained the findings of the Afghanistan-Pakistan annual review, saying that the U.S. will remain focused on al-Qaeda in Pakistan. Tell me about that.
I think there are probably three main focuses on this. One is building up the Afghan army and the Afghan police. That's our ticket home. They replace us. Second is wearing down the Afghan Taliban, the insurgency. And third is trying to help Pakistan help itself to defeat the jihadist Frankenstein that Pakistan built over the last 30 years. Ironically, it started doing that construction job with the United States in the war against the Soviet Union in the 1980s. Now the jihadist Frankenstein in Pakistan is out of control and threatens the very survival of a democratic civilian government in Pakistan today.
In your new book, Deadly Embrace, you've written that the United States government has had a number of presidential administrations that chose to undermine the Pakistani people's pursuit of good governance in order to support dictatorships and things of that sort. This, you say, has fostered the extremist notions against the United States. Why?
For good reasons at the time. Successive American presidents from both parties, Democrats and Republicans, have chosen to fall in love with Pakistani dictators, men in uniform, usually in return for some great secret project. In the 1950s, it was a U-2 base. In the 1980s, it was the war against the Mujahideen and the Soviets. In this decade, it was the fight against al-Qaeda. But by supporting these dictators, Ayub Khan, Zia-ul-Huq, Pervez Musharraf, we have undermined the civilian democratic process. We've helped to create an unstable civil-military balance in Pakistan. And ironically, we have helped strengthen the very forces that today threaten us, the jihadist Frankenstein that is trying to take over Pakistan.
Well, the U.S.'s plan is to start drawing down its troops in Afghanistan later this year, but President Karzai says that he wants more from the United States, at least 4 more years. What do you make of that?
Karzai came here to Brookings last year, and he said, the problem with you Americans is you're all hat and no cowl. Curious Texas expression that he picked up from the former president. That we talk about a big job in Afghanistan and don't put the resources into it. Now we are putting the resources into it. Karzai still mutters complaints from the sidelines and has lots of second thoughts. But Karzai is the only president Afghanistan has today. He's the guy we chose for the job. We're going to have to work with him. The way to work with him is to stop being all hat and start being all cattle. Put the resources into this that we need to have on the ground in order to try this, turn this around and turn what was close to catastrophic defeat 2 years ago into something we can call success.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone, go to brookings.edu/mobile.